Anyway, now moving on to something completely different. A new project launched in London this week ahead of the 2012 Olympics to get school children across the country thinking about their bodies and how they work, using sports, exercise and a range of scientific experiments. Mira Sint-Thillingham went along to the launch.
The pupils of St Paul's Trust School in East London were treated this week to a range of experimental kits, helping them to explore the inner workings of their bodies during exercise. The kits will be delivered to schools across the UK as part of an initiative inspired by the 2012 Olympics and brought in by the Wellcome Trust to help pupils get active and in the zone, as Mark Walpott, director of the Wellcome Trust, explained.
The Wellcome Trust has launched a series of kits for school called In the Zone, teaching the next generation about their bodies and fitness, which is designed for all stages of schools, so it'll go out to more than 23,000 primary schools, to more than 6,000 secondary schools. And each of the boxes contains a series of experiments.
So it's really focusing in perhaps on physiological traits that would benefit people perhaps during exercise?
Yes, that's part of it, and it's also partly about teaching people how their body responds to exercise. And so if you think about the brain, reaction time is important. So there is an experiment that can measure reaction time. Your muscles are obviously hugely important in exercise. And so for primary children, there are simple experiments like, can you jump further if you have longer limbs? For secondary schools, we've got experiments that teach people about lung capacity. Obviously, if you have big lungs, you're much fitter potentially. Your heart rate is a very good measure of your fitness and how your heart rate changes in exercise, and so we've got pulse oximeters. And so it's a whole series of experiments which are, on the one hand, linked to the curriculum, so they're relevant to science. On the other hand, they're specifically about health and exercise.
Have you had a go on much of the equipment yourself?
Yes, I've had a go on some of it, but I'm not sure I'd like to tell you the results.
Wellcome Trust Director Mark Walpott. And although Mark wasn't keen to share his results, many students were, as they publicly performed some of the experiments out on display, including one measuring lung capacity.
Hi, I'm Kulsuma Begum. I'm 13 and I'm in year 9.
So, Kulsuma, you've got a particular one of the experiments from the kits here, which is a long plastic bag, essentially, with lots of numbers down it.
Basically, it's got liters on the bag. You have to blow in it, and that will show you, if you like, how much you can breathe into it with your lungs and everything.
So this looks at your lung capacity.
Yeah, lung capacity. It's to do with your height, whether if you're longer, will you blow harder, or whether if you're shorter, you will blow lower. So that depends on that.
Okay, so how tall are you?
Me, I'm 5'3".
Okay, so let's see how much air you can let out.
Okay, I'll try it then.
So you breathe out a litre and a half.
Yeah.
One man able to fill the entire 6 litres of the bag and more was 5-time Olympic gold medalist Steve Redgrave. Though he is 6'4", and the kits help you learn that height can greatly benefit this particular physiological attribute.
Hi, I'm Steve Redgrave, and here with the Wellcome Trust today at having a lot of fun doing some experiments.
What would you say are the main physiological traits that people need to succeed at rowing?
The physical side is the length of levers. You don't really get very small people doing the highest level. You can get short people to a reasonable level, but when it actually comes down to elite side, they're all very tall. It's all about long, lean levers in some ways.
Being tall is good. You've got those levers to get you through the water quite quickly. But what about your internal, say, organs?
Well, rowing is an endurance-based sport. So, yeah, you've got the physical side, you've got the right specimens of leverage-wise, is that now they've got to be trained to be able to be very efficient. If you don't have the lung capacity, the VO2 uptake of transferring that oxygen into energy that goes into the red blood cells to feed the muscles from that point of view, is you're not going to be very efficient from that way. So the science behind it becomes immense. Training, preparation, monitoring of trying to improve levels all the time. When I started back in the 70s, there was none of this. I remember one of the chief coaches wanting to do a muscle biopsy on me. I'd worked for a number of years building up my muscle, and they want to stick a little needle in and pull a bit out just to find out if I was a fast twitch or slow twitch fibres. Endurance sport tends to be more low twitch. Speed tends to be more fast twitch. I was a reasonable sprinter, so I must have a reasonable amount of fast twitch fibres within my makeup. but endurance-wise, you can train it. So having that ability of natural speed and then train endurance-wise, so the best of both worlds in some ways.
Did you learn a lot about how your body actually works through all this training and through all this scientific kind of methodology? And did that help you then to get better?
Yeah, no, I think it does. Sport, everyone seems to get faster all the time. They may not get faster every time they go out or within a year or even an Olympiad of the four-year cycle. But over a period of time, times get quicker, athletes get quicker. So you've got to use every aspect. So of diet, training, the science behind it all plays a part of being a better and faster athlete than we were before.
That was Olympic rowing champion Steve Redgrave, and before him, Wellcome Trust Director Mark Walport, and both were talking to Mira Senthilingam. If you'd like to follow up on any of the news stories we've covered this week, the stories and references are available at thenakedscientist.com/news.